We now continue with the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus de Liguori.
Example. St. Camillus de Lalis urged the members of his community to remind the dying often to utter the holy name of Jesus and Mary. Such was his custom when assisting people in their last hour. When he himself came to die, he gave an edifying example of confidence in the holy names. His biographer relates that when death was approaching, the saint invoked the sweet names of Jesus and Mary with such tender devotion that all present were inflamed with love for the sacred names. With his eyes fixed on the images of Jesus and Mary, and his arms crossed on his breast, an expression of heavenly peace rested on his face when his soul took its flight. His last words were the sacred names of Jesus and Mary. Prayer. O great Mother of God, and my Mother Mary, it is true that I am unworthy to name thee, but thou, who lovest me and desirest my salvation, must, notwithstanding the impurity of my tongue, grant that I may always invoke thy most holy and powerful name in my aid, for thy name is the succor of the living and the salvation of the dying. Ah, most pure Mary, most sweet Mary, grant that henceforth thy name may be the breath of my life. O Lady, delay not to help me when I invoke thee, for in all the temptations which assail me, and in all my wants, I will never cease calling upon thee, and repeating again and again, Mary, Mary. Thus it is that I hope to act during my life, and more particularly at death, that after that last struggle I may eternally praise thy beloved name in heaven, O Clement, O Pious, O sweet Virgin Mary. Ah, Mary, most amiable Mary, with what consolation, what sweetness, what confidence, what tenderness is thy soul penetrated in only naming, in only thinking of thee. I thank my Lord and God, who, for my good, has given thee a name so sweet and deserving of love, and at the same time so powerful. But, my Sovereign Lady, I am not satisfied with only naming thee. I wish to name thee with love. I desire that my love may every hour remind me to call on thee, so that I may be able to exclaim with St. Bonaventure, O name of the Mother of God, thou art my love. My own dear Mary, O my beloved Jesus, may your most sweet names reign in my heart and in all hearts. Grant that I may forget all others to remember and always invoke your adorable names alone. Ah, Jesus, my Redeemer, and Mary, my Mother, when the moment of death comes, when I must breathe forth my soul and leave this world, deign, through your merits, to grant that I may pronounce my last words, and that they may be, I love thee, O Jesus. I love thee, O Mary. To you do I give my heart and my soul. Beautiful and fervent prayers addressed by the various saints to the Divine Mother. These prayers are put here not only that they may be used, but also that they may show the high idea that the saints had of the power and mercy of Mary and the great confidence they had in her patronage. Prayer of St. Ephrem. O Immaculate and entirely pure Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Queen of the Universe, our own good Lady, thou art above all the saints, the only hope of the patriarchs, and the joy of the saints. Through thee we have been reconciled with our God. Thou art the only advocate of sinners, and the secure haven of those who are sailing on the sea of this life. Thou art the consolation of the world, the ransom of captives, the joy of the sick, the comfort of the afflicted, the refuge, the salvation of the whole world. O great Princess, Mother of God, cover us with the wings of thy mercy, and pity us. We hope only in thee, O most pure Virgin. We are given to thee, and consecrated to thy service. We bear the name of thy servants. O then, permit not that Lucifer should drag us to hell. O Immaculate Virgin, we are under thy protection, and therefore unitedly we have recourse to thee, and we beseech thee to prevent thy beloved Son, who is irritated by our sins, from abandoning us to the power of the devil. O thou who art full of grace, enlighten my understanding, loosen my tongue, that it may sing thy praises, and more particularly the angelic salutation, so worthy of thee. I salute thee, O peace, O joy, O consolation of the whole world. I salute thee, O greatest of miracles, O paradise of delights, secure haven of those who are in danger, fountain of graces, mediatrix between God and men. Prayer of Saint Bernard. We raise our eyes to thee, O Queen of the world. We must appear before our Judge after so many sins. Who will appease him? No one can do it better than thou canst, O Holy Lady, who hast loved him so much, and by whom thou art so tenderly beloved. Open then, O Mother of Mercy, thy heart to our sighs and prayers. We fly to thy protection. Appease the wrath of thy Son, and restore us to his grace. Thou dost not abhor a sinner, however loathsome he may be. Thou dost not despise him, if he sends up his sighs to thee, and repentant asks thy intercession. Thou, with thy compassionate hand, deliverest him from despair. Thou animatest him to hope, and dost not leave him until thou hast reconciled him with his Judge. Thou art that chosen lady in whom our Lord found repose, and in whom he has deposited all his treasures without measure. Hence the whole world, O my most holy lady, honors thy chaste womb as the temple of God, in which the salvation of the world began. In thee was effected the reconciliation between God and man. Thou, O great Mother of God, art the enclosed garden, into which the hand of a sinner never entered to gather its flowers. Thou art the beautiful garden in which God has planted all the flowers that adorn the church, and amongst others the violet of thy humility, the lily of thy purity, the rose of thy charity. With whom can we compare thee, O Mother of grace and beauty? Thou art the paradise of God. From thee issued forth the fountain of the living water that irrigates the whole world. O, how many benefits thou hast bestowed on the world by meriting to be so salutary a channel! Of thee it is that the question is asked, Who is she that cometh forth like the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun? Thou camest then into the world, O Mary, as a resplendent dawn, preceding with the light of thy sanctity the coming of the Son of Justice. The day on which thou camest into the world can indeed be called a day of salvation, a day of grace. Thou art fair as the moon, for as amongst all planets the moon it is that is most like the sun, so amongst all creatures thou art the nearest in resemblance to God. The moon illumines the night with the light that it receives from the sun, and thou enlightenest our darkness with the splendor of thy virtues. But thou art fairer than the moon, for in thee there is neither spot nor shadow. Thou art bright as the sun, I mean as the sun that created the sun. He was chosen amongst all men, and thou was chosen amongst all women. O sweet, O great, O all-amiable Mary, no heart can pronounce thy name, but thou inflamest it with thy love. Nor can they who love thee think of thee without feeling themselves strengthened to love thee more. O Holy Lady, help our weakness. And who is more fit to address our Lord Jesus Christ than thou, who enjoyest in such close vicinity his most sweet converse? Speak, then, speak, O Lady, for thy Son listens to thee, and thou wilt obtain all that thou askest of him. Prayer of Saint Germanus of Constantinople. O my only and sovereign Lady, who art the sole consolation that I receive from God, Thou who art the only celestial dew that gives me refreshment in my pains, Thou who art the light of my soul when it is surrounded with darkness, Thou who art my guide in journeyings, my strength in weakness, my treasure in poverty, the balm of my wounds, my consolation in sorrow, Thou who art my refuge in miseries and the hope of my salvation, listen to my prayers. Have pity on me as it becomes the mother of a God who has such love for men. O Thou who art our defense and joy, grant me all that I ask. Make me worthy to enjoy with Thee the great happiness that Thou enjoyest in heaven. Yes, my Lady, my refuge, my life, my help, my defense, my strength, my joy, my hope, grant that I may one day be with Thee in heaven. I know that, being the Mother of God, Thou canst, if Thou wilt, obtain it for me. O Mary, Thou art omnipotent to save sinners, nor needest Thou any other recommendation, for Thou art the Mother of true life. Prayer of Blessed Raymond Giordano, Abbot of Salais. Draw me after Thee, O Virgin Mary, that I may run to the odor of Thy ointments. Draw me, for I am held back by the weight of my sins and by the malice of my enemies. As no one goes to the Son unless the Heavenly Father draws him, so do I presume to say, in a certain manner, that no one goes to him unless Thou drawest him by Thy holy prayers. It is Thou who teachest true wisdom, Thou who obtainest grace for sinners, for Thou art their advocate. It is Thou who promisest glory to him who honors Thee, for Thou art the treasurer of graces. Thou, O most sweet Virgin, hast found grace with God, for Thou wast preserved from the stain of original sin, wast filled with the Holy Ghost, and didst conceive the Son of God. Thou, O most humble Virgin, didst receive all these graces, not for Thyself only, but also for us, that Thou mightest assist us in all our necessities. And this Thou dost indeed, Thou succorest the good, preserving them in grace, and the wicked Thou preparest to receive divine mercy. Thou assistest the dying, protecting them against the snares of the devil, and Thou helpest them after death, receiving their souls and conducting them to the kingdom of the blessed. Prayer of Saint Methodius. Thy name, O Mother of God, is filled with all graces and divine blessings. Thou hast contained him who cannot be contained, and nourished him who nourishes all creatures. He who fills heaven and earth, and is Lord of all, was pleased to stand in need of thee, for it was thou who didst clothe him with that flesh which he had not borne before. Rejoice then, O Mother and Handmaid of God. Be glad then with exceeding great joy, for Thou hast him for Thy debtor, who gives their being to all creatures. We are all God's debtors, but he is a debtor to Thee. Hence it is, O most holy Mother of God, that Thou hast greater goodness and greater charity than all the other saints, and hast freer access to God than any of them. For Thou art his mother. Ah, deign, we beseech Thee, to remember us in our miseries, who celebrate Thy glories, and know how great is Thy goodness. Prayer of Saint John Damascene. I salute Thee, O Mary. Thou art the hope of Christians. Receive the supplication of a sinner who loves Thee tenderly, honors Thee in a special manner, and places in Thee the whole hope of his salvation. From Thee I have my life. Thou dost restore me to the favor of Thy Son. Thou art the certain pledge of my salvation. I implore Thee, then, deliver me from the burden of my sins. Dispel the darkness of my mind. Banish earthly affections from my heart. Repress the temptations of my enemies. And so rule my whole life, that by Thy means and under Thy guidance I may attain the eternal happiness of heaven. Prayer of Saint Andrew of Crete. I salute thee, O full of grace, our Lord is with thee. I salute thee, O cause of our joy, through whom the sentence of our condemnation was revoked and changed into one of blessings. I salute thee, O temple of the glory of God, sacred dwelling of the King of heaven. Thou art the reconciliation of God with men. I salute thee, O mother of our joy. Truly thou art blessed, for thou alone amongst all women wast found worthy to be the mother of thy Creator. All nations call thee blessed. O Mary, if I place my confidence in thee, I shall be saved. If I am under thy protection, I have nothing to fear, for the fact of being thy client is the possession of a certainty of salvation, which God only grants to those whom he will save. O Mother of Mercy, appease thy beloved Son. Whilst thou wast on earth, thou didst occupy only a small part of it, but now that thou art raised above the highest heavens, the whole world considers thee as the propitiatory of all nations. I implore thee then, O Holy Virgin, to grant me the help of thy prayers with God, prayers which are dearer and more precious to us than all the treasures of the earth, prayers which render God propitious to us in our sins, and obtain us a great abundance of graces, both for the pardon of our offenses and the practice of virtue, prayers which check our enemies, confound their designs, and triumph over their strength. Prayer of Saint Ildefonsus. I come to thee, O Mother of God, and implore thee to obtain for me the pardon of my sins, that I may be cleansed from those of my whole life. I beseech thee to grant me the grace to unite myself in affection to thy Son and to thyself, to thy Son as my God, and to thee as the Mother of my God. Prayer of Saint Athanasius. Give ear to our prayers, O Most Holy Virgin, and be mindful of us. Dispense unto us the gifts of thy riches and the abundance of the graces with which thou art filled. The archangel saluted thee and called thee full of grace. All nations call thee blessed. The whole hierarchy of heaven blesses thee, and we, who are of the terrestrial hierarchy, also address thee, saying, Hail, O full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, Our Lady and Our Queen. Prayer of Saint Anselm. We beseech thee, O Most Holy Lady, by the favor that God did thee in raising thee so high as to make all things possible to thee with him, so to act that the plenitude of grace which thou didst merit may render us partakers of thy glory. Strive, O Most Merciful Lady, to obtain for us that for which God was pleased to become man in thy chaste womb. O lend us a willing ear. If thou deignest to pray to thy Son for this, he will immediately grant it. It suffices that thou willest our salvation, and then we are sure to obtain it. But who can restrain thy great mercy? If thou, who art our mother, and the mother of mercy, dost not pity us, what will become of us when thy Son comes to judge us? Help us then, O most compassionate Lady, and consider not the multitude of our sins. Remember always that our Creator took human flesh of thee, not to condemn sinners, but to save them. If thou hadst become the Mother of God only for thine own advantage, we might say that it signified little to thee whether we were lost or saved. But God clothed himself with thy flesh for thy salvation and for that of all men. What would thy great power and glory avail us if thou dost not make us partakers of thy happiness? O help us then, and protect us. Thou knowest how greatly we stand in need of thy assistance. We recommend ourselves to thee. O let us not lose our souls, but make us eternally serve and love thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Prayer of St. Peter Damian. Holy Virgin, Mother of God, succor those who implore thy aid. O turn towards us. Hast thou perhaps forgotten men, because thou hast been raised to so close a union with God? Ah, no, most certainly. Thou knowest well in what danger thou didst leave us, and the wretched condition of thy servants. Ah, no, it would not become so great a mercy as thine to forget so great misery as is ours. Turn towards us, then, with thy power, for he who is powerful has made thee omnipotent in heaven and on earth. Nothing is impossible to thee, for thou canst raise even those who are in despair to the hope of salvation. The more powerful thou art, the greater should be thy mercy. Turn also to us in thy love. I know, my Lady, that thou art all benign, and that thou lovest us with a love that can be surpassed by no other love. How often dost thou not appease the wrath of our judge when he is on the point of chastising us? All the treasures of the mercies of God are in thy hands. Ah, never cease to benefit us. Thou only seekest occasion to save all the wretched, and to shower thy mercies upon them. For thy glory is increased when, by thy means, penitents are forgiven and thus reach heaven. Turn then towards us, that we also may be able to go and see thee in heaven. For the greatest glory we can have will be, after seeing God, to see thee, to love thee, to be under thy protection. Be pleased, then, to grant our prayer, for thy beloved Son desires to honor thee by denying thee nothing that thou askest. Prayer of William, Bishop of Paris. O Mother of God, I have recourse to thee, and I call upon thee not to reject me, for the whole congregation of the faithful calls and proclaims thee the Mother of Mercy. Thou art that one who, from being so dear to God, art always graciously heard. Thy clemency was never wanting to anyone. Thy most benign affability never despised any sinner who had recourse to thee, however enormous his crimes. Can it be falsely or in vain that the Church calls thee her advocate and the refuge of sinners? Never let it be said that my sins could prevent thee from fulfilling the great office of mercy, which is peculiarly thine own, by which thou art the advocate and mediatress of peace, the only hope and most secure refuge of the miserable. Never shall it be said that the Mother of God, who for the benefit of the world brought forth him who was the fountain of mercy, denied her mercy to any sinner who had recourse to her. Thine office is that of peacemaker between God and men. Let then the greatness of thy compassion, and which far exceeds my sins, move thee to help me. Hymns. To Mary, our Queen, the Mother of Mercy. Look down, O Mother Mary, from thy bright throne above. Cast down upon thy children one only glance of love. And if a heart so tender with pity flows not o'er, then turn away, O Mother, and look on us no more. See how, ungrateful sinners, we stand before thy Son. His loving heart upbraids us the evil we have done. But if thou wilt appease him, speak for us but one word. Thou only canst obtain us the pardon of our Lord. O Mary, dearest Mother, if thou wouldst have us live, say that we are thy children, and Jesus will forgive. Our sins make us unworthy that title still to bear, but thou art still our mother, then show a mother's care. Open to us thy mantle, there stay we without fear. What evil can befall us if, Mother, thou art near? O sweetest, dearest Mother, thy sinful children save. Look down on us with pity, who thy protection crave. 2. Mary, our Mother, by Monsignor Magello.
When I think o'er my happy lot, that Mary, I am a child of thine, then every sorrow, mother mine, swift vanishes and is forgot. Chosen mother of my God to be, thou still art mine own mother dear. What harm then can I ever fear, sweet Mary, if thou lovest me? One only fear can make me sigh, 'tis lest I e'er should lose thy love. But while my heart shall faithful prove, living or dying, blessed am I. Deprived of thee, my lovely rose, each joy doth bitter grief appear, but pain is joy if thou wert near, and death itself is sweet repose. From heaven's path he cannot stray, who follows thee, his safest guide, to serve thee and in thee confide, is of all good the surest way. O blessed is he whose sole desire is e'er to love thee tenderly, yes, happy he who loveth thee, and feels his heart with love on fire. Then grant to me, my sweetest queen, ever to burn with love of thee, until in heaven I come to see, unveiled, thy loveliest serene. Number 3. To Mary, our hope. Mary, thou art hope the brightest, love most pure and sweet. Life and peace I find reposing at thy blessed feet. When I call on thee, O Mary, when I think on thee, joy and pleasure all entrancing fill my heart with glee. If anon the clouds of sadness rise within my heart, when I hear thy name, O Mary, straightway they depart. Like a star on life's dark ocean shining o'er the wave, thou canst guide my bark to harbor, thou my soul canst save. Under thy protecting mantle, Queen beloved, I'd fly. There I wish to live securely, there I hope to die. If I chance my life to finish, Mary, loving thee, then I also know, dear lady, heaven is for me. Cast thy gentle bonds around me, and my heart in chain. Prisoner of love forever, safe will I remain. Thus my heart, O sweetest Mary, is not mine, but thine. Take it, give it all to Jesus, ne'er shall it be mine. 4. The name of Mary. Mother Mary, Queen most sweet, joy and love my heart inflame, gladly shall my lips repeat every moment thy dear name. Ah, that name to God so dear has my heart and soul enslaved. Like a seal it shall appear deep on heart and soul engraved. When the morning gilds the skies, I will call on Mary's name. When at evening twilight dies, Mary still I will exclaim. Sweetest Mary, bend thine ear. Thou my own dear mother art, therefore shall thy name so dear never from lips depart. If my soul is sore oppressed by a load of anxious care, peace once more will fill my heart when thy name re-echoes there. Waves of doubt disturb my peace, and my heart is faint with fear. At thy name the billows cease, all my terrors disappear. When the demon hosts invade, when temptation rages high, crying, Mother, Mary, aid, I will make the tempter fly. This shall be my comfort sweet, when the hand of death is nigh. Mary, Mary, to repeat once again, and then to die. It must be observed that this last hymn, The Name of Mary, is not by St. Alphonsus, but by Father Apice. Editor. Part the second. Discourses on the principal feasts of Mary. Discourse 1. Mary's Immaculate Conception, December 8th. How befitting it was that each of the three divine persons should preserve Mary from original sin. Great indeed was the injury entailed on Adam and all his posterity by his accursed sin. For at the same time that he thereby, for his own great misfortune, lost grace, he also forfeited all the other precious gifts with which he had originally been enriched, and drew down upon himself and all his descendants the hatred of God and the accumulation of evils. But from this general misfortune, God was pleased to exempt that blessed Virgin whom he had destined to be the mother of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who was to repair the evil done by the first. Now let us see how befitting it was that God and all the three divine persons should thus preserve her from it, that the Father should preserve her as his daughter, the Son as his mother, and the Holy Ghost as his spouse. 1. In the first place, it was befitting that the Eternal Father should preserve Mary from the stain of original sin, because she was his daughter, and his firstborn daughter, as she herself declares, "I came out of the mouth of the Most High, the firstborn before all creatures." This text is applied to Mary by sacred interpreters, the Holy Fathers, and by the Church on the solemnity of her conception. For whether she be the firstborn inasmuch as she was predestined in the divine decrees, together with the Son, before all creatures, according to the Scotists, or the firstborn of grace, as the predestined mother of the Redeemer, after the prevision of sin, according to the Thomists, nevertheless all agree in calling her the firstborn of God. This being the case, it was quite becoming that Mary should never have been the slave of Lucifer, but only and always possessed by her Creator. In this she in reality was, as we are assured by herself, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways." Hence Denis of Alexandria rightly calls Mary the one and only daughter of life. She is the one and only daughter of life, in contradistinction to others who, being born in sin, are daughters of death. Besides this, it was quite becoming that the Eternal Father should create her in his grace, since he destined her to be the repairer of the lost world, and the mediatress of peace between men and God. And, as such, she is looked upon and spoken of by the Holy Fathers, and in particular by St. John Damascene, who thus addresses her, "O Blessed Virgin, thou wast born that thou mightest minister to the salvation of the whole world." For this reason, St. Bernard says that Noah's Ark was a type of Mary, for as by its means men were preserved from the deluge, so are we all saved by Mary from the shipwreck of sin, but with the difference that in the ark few were saved, and by Mary the whole human race was rescued from death. Therefore, in a sermon found amongst the works of St. Athanasius, she is called the New Eve and the Mother of Life, and not without reason, for the first was the mother of death, but the Most Blessed Virgin was the mother of true life. St. Theophanius of Nice addresses Mary, saying, "Hail, thou who hast taken away Eve's sorrow." St. Basil of Seleucia calls her the peacemaker between men and God. "Hail, thou who art appointed umpire between God and men." And St. Ephrem, the peacemaker of the whole world. "Hail, reconciler of the whole world." But now, it certainly would not be becoming to choose an enemy to treat of peace with the offended person, and still less an accomplice in the crime itself. St. Gregory says that an enemy cannot undertake to appease his judge, who is at the same time the injured party, for if he did, instead of appeasing him, he would provoke him to greater wrath. And therefore, as Mary was to be the mediatress of peace between men and God, it was of the utmost importance that she should not herself appear as a sinner and as an enemy of God, but that she should appear in all things as a friend and free from every stain. Still more was it becoming that God should preserve her from original sin, for he destined her to crush the head of that infernal serpent, which, by seducing our first parents, entailed death upon all men. And this our Lord foretold, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head." But if Mary was to be that valiant woman brought into the world to conquer Lucifer, certainly it was not becoming that he should first conquer her and make her his slave. But it was reasonable that she should be preserved from all stain and even momentary subjection to her opponent. The proud spirit endeavored to infect the most pure soul of this virgin with his venom, as he has already infected the whole human race. But praised and ever blessed be God, who, in his infinite goodness, pre-endowed her for this purpose with such great grace that, remaining always free from any guilt of sin, she was ever able to beat down and confound his pride. As St. Augustine, or whoever may be the author of the commentary on Genesis, says, "Since the devil is the head of original sin, this head it was that Mary crushed. For sin never had any entry into the soul of this blessed virgin, which was consequently free from all stain." And St. Bonaventure more expressly says, "It was becoming that the Blessed Virgin Mary, by whom our shame was to be blotted out, and by whom the devil was to be conquered, should never, even for a moment, have been under his dominion. But above all, it principally became the Eternal Father to preserve this, his daughter, unspotted by Adam's sin, as St. Bernardine of Siena remarks, because he destined her to be the mother of his only begotten Son. Thou wast preordained in the mind of God, before all creatures, that thou mightest beget God himself as man. If then, for no other end, at least for the honor of his Son, who was God, it was reasonable that the Father should create Mary free from every stain. The angelic St. Thomas says that all things that are ordained for God should be holy and free from stain. Holiness is to be attributed to those things that are ordained for God. Hence, when David was planning the Temple of Jerusalem on a scale of magnificence becoming of a god, he said, 'For a house is prepared not for man, but for God.' How much more reasonable, then, is it not to suppose that the sovereign architect, who destined Mary to be the mother of his own Son, adorned her soul with all most precious gifts, that she might be a dwelling worthy of a God. Dennis the Carthusian says that God, the artificer of all things, when constructing a worthy dwelling for his Son, adorned it with all attractive graces. And the Holy Church herself, in the following prayer, assures us that God prepared the body and soul of the Blessed Virgin so as to be a worthy dwelling on earth for his only begotten Son. Almighty and eternal God, who, by the cooperation of the Holy Ghost, didst prepare the body and soul of the glorious Virgin and Mother, Mary, that she might become a worthy habitation for thy Son. We know that a man's highest honor is to be born of noble parents, and the glory of children are their fathers. Hence, in the world, the reputation of being possessed of only a small fortune and little earning is more easily tolerated than that of being of low birth. For whilst a poor man may become rich by his industry, an ignorant man learned by study, it is very difficult for a person of humble origin to attain the rank of nobility. But even should he attain it, his birth can always be made subject of a reproach for him. How then can we suppose that God, who could cause his Son to be born of a noble mother by preserving her from sin, would, on the contrary, permit him to be born of one infected by it, and thus enable Lucifer always to reproach him with the shame of having a mother who had once been his slave and the enemy of God? No, certainly, the Eternal Father did not permit this, but he well provided for the honor of his Son by preserving his mother always immaculate, that she might be a mother becoming such a son. The Greek Church bears witness to this, saying that God, by a singular providence, caused the most blessed Virgin to be as perfectly pure from the very first moment of her existence as it was fitting that she should be, who was to be worthy mother of Christ. It is a common axiom amongst theologians that no gift was ever bestowed on any creature with which the Blessed Virgin was not also enriched. St. Bernard says on this subject, "It is certainly not wrong to suppose that which was evidently been bestowed, even only on a few, was not denied to so great a virgin. St. Thomas of Villanova says, "Nothing was ever granted to any saint which did not shine in a much higher degree in Mary from the very first moment of her existence." And as it is true that there is an infinite difference between the Mother of God and the servants of God, according to the celebrated saying of St. John Damascene, we must certainly suppose, according to the doctrine of St. Thomas, that God conferred privileges of grace in every way greater on his mother than on his servants. And now, admitting this, St. Anselm, the great defender of the Immaculate Mary, takes up the question and says, "Was the wisdom of God unable to form a pure dwelling and to remove every stain of human nature from it? Perhaps God could not prepare a clean habitation for his Son by preserving it from the common contagion." God, continues the same saint, could preserve angels in heaven spotless in the midst of the devastation that surrounded them. Was he then unable to preserve the mother of his Son and the queen of angels from the common fall of men? And I may here add that as God could grant Eve the grace to come immaculate into the world, could he not then grant the same favor to Mary? Yes, indeed, God could do this, and did it. For on every account, it was becoming, as the same St. Anselm says, that the Virgin, on whom the Eternal Father intended to bestow his only begotten Son, should be adorned with such purity as not only to exceed that of all men and angels, but exceeding any purity that can be conceived after that of God. And St. John Damascene speaks in still clearer terms, for he says that our Lord has preserved the soul, together with the body of the Blessed Virgin, in that purity which became her who was to receive a God into her womb. For as he is holy, he only reposes in holy places. And thus the Eternal Father could well say to his beloved daughter, "As the lily among thorns, so my love among the daughters. My daughter, amongst all my other daughters, thou art as a lily in the midst of thorns, for they are all stained with sin, but thou wast always immaculate and always my beloved."
We will continue on the next tape.